General Keith Alexander, head of the National Security Agency, rushed over to Capitol Hill today for an emergency classified briefing. He's vigorously lobbying against a proposed amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill that could cut funding for the mass dragnet surveillance of every American's telephone data. The amendment, sponsored by Michigan Representative Justin Amash, a Libertarian Republican, has broad bipartisan support in the House.
It's intended to send a clear signal by Congress to curtail some of the spying.
Mark Jaycox is a policy analyst for the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
And it's going to be one of the first times, at least within this Congress, where Congress and representatives will be able to send a loud and clear message that the unconstitutional NSA spying and collection of Americans' calling information is not okay and is not in line with the statutes.
This amendment would specifically limit funding for implementation of orders under Section 215 of the Patriot Act. What does Section 215 say?
Well, Section 215 of the Patriot Act allows for the government to collect any tangible thing, or at least according to the government's justification. It used to only be used for tangible business records and things like that, but the statute has morphed and has started to be abused by the government to collect intangible information about calling information or other types of data like that.
Is there any understanding or provision that says that such seizures or records searches have to be related to a specific target or to a specific investigation?
The government is relying on an outdated Supreme Court case in the 1970s that stated that once an individual gives over information to a third party, and in this case it was when a phone company, telecommunications company, when you know that the company is keeping billing records or calling information for billing purposes, that the individual no longer has a reasonable expectation of privacy. And now the court case hasn't really kept up with the advances in technology, because nowadays we send a lot of information online to intermediaries and third parties, and we entrust them, and we would argue that users and everyday Americans do have an expectation of privacy when they send an email or when they make a call. They have an expectation of privacy around the information that's transmitted, and especially the calling information and other what the administration has termed metadata. And metadata is private and personal and does reveal a tremendous amount about people. And so the government is relying on that Supreme Court case. The statute confines the government to only search for, quote, relevant, end quote, tangible items. And the government has created this strained legal theory that all Americans' calling information is relevant, quote, unquote, to an authorized investigation. And these opinions are actually secret opinions. They're secret law. They're opinions that are created and drafted by the secret court overseeing the spying called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. So the American public doesn't even know the exact legal rationale or the exact wording in the opinions. And so those are the two documents and the two legal justifications that the administration is throwing forth.
Is there any indication that Congress intended the FISA court to authorize these blanket subpoenas that capture every piece of information that passes through the telephone networks and along the internet?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. One of the original co-authors of Section 215, Jim Sensenbrenner, has actually come out and said exactly that this is not what Congress intended when updating the statute, and this was not what Congress intended when they drafted the statute. And so many congressmen, especially last week at a House Judiciary Committee, did voice the opinion that when they were told of the programs or when the programs were described to them, that there was, A, no way that they intended for this to happen, and B, that this wasn't even being described to them, that this type of mass dragnet surveillance and spying and collection of information was going on.
This amendment is sponsored by a Libertarian Republican from Michigan. It's also sponsored by John Conyers, a liberal Democrat. This has bipartisan support. Is this an indication of how Congress is viewing this and the fact that both sides seem to be taking this very seriously?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, privacy does not have a specific party, and that's definitely shown in this instance where there are four or five co-sponsors across the board, from Libertarian Republicans to liberal members of the Democratic Party. And so this amendment is a signal to the future, and we have seen it in past campaigns and in past bills where bipartisan politicians come together and voice their support for pro-privacy amendments and pro-privacy angles. It's certainly not an issue confined to one party, and this amendment shows that.
The Obama administration seems to be of the opinion that anything that they do in this regard cannot be challenged in court. Is the legislature the only way to approach this right now, at least according to the administration?
Congress is one of many avenues in which oversight can occur. The Amash Amendment is important because it will allow for a greater public debate on the NSA spying. It'll allow for greater public debate and it'll allow for Congress to have a voice and an opinion on the matter. Right now, we've seen issues where the hearings that have taken place have not really dug too deeply. We've been actually pushing a while now for a special investigatory committee to happen and actually having an up or down vote on an amendment that allows for Congress to voice its opinion is very important. And we're encouraging people to speak out on our website, EFF.org. We have a petition up and are directing people to call their representatives and congressmen so that they can be heard.
Mark J. Cox is a policy analyst for the Electronic Frontier Foundation.